Let's look at our theme verse this morning. We'll be looking at this pretty much every week, and I want you to catch this and really let it resonate more than ever before. It's a theme verse, and it applies probably more today than it's going to apply the whole 7 weeks because we're dealing with the mind. Look at what it says. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. But I love this. Let God transform you, change you. You want to change? Let God change you, transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Can you say it any better? Can you say it any clearer? You want change in your life. You want things to be different than they are now. In your social life, in your emotional life, physical, spiritual, financial, vocational, you want change. Here's the key. We got to change the way we think. In fact, look how it finishes the verse. Then, as you change your thinking, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. Anybody want the good, pleasing, and perfect part of God in your life? Yeah, we want the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God that's conditioned on us continuing to think correctly. You want God's blessing? We've got to learn to think like God thinks. We're going to be transformed. We're going to be changed. We're going to be a different people. In fact, we're going to be going to the office and they're going to say, my God, what's happened to you? And you say, join me in a study. We're changing at my church. And they're going to come. It's going to be powerful. Hey, I got another verse I want to introduce to you this morning. Similar language. And I want you to catch this morning because we're talking today about your mind. We're talking today about mental health. This is the big ticket item of the study, in my opinion. This is the big deal. Changing how we think. Every one of us, no exception, we need God's help to reshape our thinking patterns. Life will get much better, much richer, much more fuller when we think right. Look at this verse in Ephesians chapter 4. Paul the Apostle is writing this to the church at Ephesus, and he's kind of reminding them of their former life and their new life after becoming a follower of Christ. And he says this, with the Lord's authority, I say this. Well, in other words, hey, you need to listen to this, guys. He's speaking to one local church. He says, live no longer as the Gentiles do. Now, what he's saying there, live no longer like people who do not know God, people who don't follow Christ, like you used to live when you didn't follow Christ. Some of you are still doing it, but I want you to stop. With authority, I'm saying, don't do this anymore. Don't live any longer like the Gentiles do. Then he's going to describe it. For they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they've closed their minds. Anybody feel something on that? Sometimes when you feel hopelessly confused, your mind's full of darkness, you feel like God's far away, you've wandered far, you can't feel God, and your mind's just closed up. He's saying God does not want you to go that way. And then he gives you the formula to get out. Look at the next verse. But that is not what you learned about Christ. This wandering darkness, hopelessness. That's not what you learned about Christ. Since you heard about Jesus and have learned the truth. Everyone say those three words. Learn the truth. Look at your neighbor and say, learn the truth. Look at your other neighbor and say, learn the truth. That's the key. The big ticket for today that God wants all of us to catch. He's saying, hey, look, that's not what you learn. Since you heard about Jesus and learned the truth that comes from him, then he gives you 3 points on how to get out of this mess. Number one, verse 22, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life. Throw off the old way of thinking. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts. And then thirdly, put on the new nature. Get rid of the old, put on the new, but what's the key in the middle? Renew your mind. Anybody here who wants to change from the old way you were or way you are, the old habit patterns, the tendencies you have, the negativity that wraps itself around you like a vine, gripping you and sucking life out of you, the negativity that tells you you're stuck in a relationship that controls you and you hate it, the negativity that tells you you're never going to prosper, never going to be successful, never going to lose weight, never, 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 all the nevers, all the negative, and tells you what you see from the old, that's you. To get out of the old and to get into the new. Throw off the old, put on the new. But what's the key? It's the meat in the middle. You must allow the Holy Spirit to renew your mind. Meaning, you must change how you think. This is really powerful stuff. So why is mind management and mental health, why are we talking about this at church? Mental health. Why is it so important? What's the big deal? Because basically your thoughts control your life. You're going to see that before we're done today. Look at the scripture in Proverbs chapter 4. It speaks it so clearly. Be careful, City Church, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. So maybe when you were young, someone says, "You're so clumsy." Or they said, "Oh, you just break everything. You're so stupid, you can't do anything. You'll never." And they give these strong statements. And that experience formed a thinking in your human brain. And that picture has dominated you all of your life. I'll give you a story for me. I was a young boy. I don't know. I was in the Cub Scouts. I know that because I was standing in the garage. I can still see the bench I was standing at, and I can see what I was doing. I'm 60, and that was about 7, 8 years old. That tells you how much it impressed me. And the assignment was to make something with our hands. I wanted to be good with my hands because I idolized my father. Still do. My father passed away a few years ago, but he could do anything in my sight. He was a giant in my eyes. Could do no wrong. He could fix anything, build anything, make anything, and I wanted to be like him. I'm a little Cub Scout. I got this little project, and I'm sitting in the garage. He's big garage, and I'm making something. And my dad, although my memories of him are predominantly pleasant, he was a wonderful father. He had a part of him where he'd get impatient and get harsh at times. Not in the latter, in the younger years. So I'm doing this, and for some reason he walks over and says, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm trying to make this." And he literally takes it out of my hands, and he said this statement, "You can't do anything. Just give it to me, and I'll make it. You can't do anything with your hands." 7 years old. 25 years old. I'm looking for a job, and some friends offered me to get a job painting homes. And so I get the job painting, and then a group of us decided we'd branch out and dabble in some remodeling and start doing some things. And I'm thinking to myself, I can't join you because I can't do those things. Where did I get that thought? Because, see, you got to be careful how you think. Because your life as it is right now, who you are, is shaped by the thoughts you have had and dwelled on all of your life. You are today where you are because of what you thought yesterday. You are going to be where you're going to go by how you choose to think from this point forward. By the way, I'll tell you later the rest of that story. I'll tell you what happened. If you feel like, you know, life just not seeming to work out, you know, you're not prospering or you're not feeling successful, or maybe on the downside you're feeling discouraged or even depressed. Here's the suggestion from today is that when those things happen, when you're feeling and thinking that way, here's what you do. You go back to the beginning. You go back to square one and you ask yourself this question. What am I thinking about? Because how you feel is coming from how you think. Not from the problem or the circumstance, it's what you're thinking that determines how you feel. And we'll get more into that a little later. Bottom line, this is really important. Whatever gets in your mind gets you. Again, let me read this scripture from another translation from the CEV. Carefully guard your thoughts because they are the source of true life. Carefully. We're going to have fun and learn some things today, but I, from the Holy Spirit, I know he's saying this to you. I know he's saying it to some of you. I can literally see your face. There's a heart cry. Could I really change? Could I really come out of the emotional pain I've suffered with all of my life? When a certain smell comes or a certain situation or a certain person or a certain name is mentioned, I cringe because of, and you feel this pain and you're attaching it to things and you're wanting to know, can you really change? Can the personhood of who you are and your identity, can those things change? Yes, absolutely. You can be transformed into a new person by the renewing of your mind. In fact, neuroscience has told us in the research that every time that we have a thought. Our brain releases chemicals that make us either feel good or bad. Every time you think. So if you're thinking that the pastor's helping you right now, you're feeling good. If you're thinking he's, you know, getting under your skin, you feel bad. It's a feeling, right? So what are your thoughts? So every time you ever think, your brain is releasing chemicals to determine the source of life. Is it life or is it death? Your brain's powerful. It's incredible. It's the first computer processor, storing up memory. And it's actually God made our brain programmable. And so much so that there's a constant war between good and evil, and they're looking for the code to program your mind. There's a real battle. The enemy, the devil, is wanting to find the code to program this incredible computer inside of you, your brain, so that your mind is trapped into captivities, trapped into bondages, trapped and held under the slavery of negativity and wrong thinking. Certain parts of your life are really good. Good things are happening, but other parts are really difficult because we live in a broken, fallen world. But what God is saying, as life has impacted you in a negative way and caused you to think wrong, which caused you to act wrong, we can reverse the process by evaluating how we're thinking. So this battle is a big deal. We're going to look at a scripture, a pretty famous scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And everybody, can you just say something, say, hey, this is good, kind of loosen up a little bit. Man, it felt like I'm, okay, this is good. Need a little interaction here. All right, you with me? Let's go. Here we go. This is a powerful scripture, and see how it applies again to the concept of thoughts, the power of thought, the battlefield. Your brain's programmable. Good and evil are both vying for the secret code to know how to program your brain and control your thoughts and control your life, the quality of your life. Look at this. For though we walk in the flesh, we're not waging war according to the flesh. In other words, we have a human body. That's not where the war is, and that's not how we win. Our weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they have divine power to destroy strongholds. Everybody say destroy strongholds. Well, I want this. I want divine power to destroy strongholds in my life. I'm saying it personal. I feel like I have some strongholds in my life, some wrong thinking. You know, I got to be a student of my own message. I got to eat it too. I've been looking at this for hours, and I'm convicted to the core of some really stupid, negative thinking that's dominated my life. And it's actually, if I were to be honest, it's probably a stronghold. Well, the good news is I have divine power.
That's right.
Come on. To destroy strongholds. And you'll find out what that means in a second. We destroy arguments, ways of thinking. Every opinion, ways of thinking, that raises itself against the knowledge of God. Don't move yet. Hold here. We destroy arguments and lofty opinions raised against the knowledge of God. So the focus here is what? The focus here is the knowledge of God. For me as a Christian, I want to know that God is with me in every circumstance. I want the knowledge of God when I'm facing financial difficulty that God says by knowledge of God that he will be my provider. I want to know when I'm facing physical sicknesses, I want the knowledge of God present in me that I know he's my healer. You name the problem, God has the answer. The knowledge of God is extremely, it's the focus of your happiness and it's the focus of your life. Are you with me? So the focus of this passage right here so far, divine power to destroy strongholds so that I can have the knowledge of God. So I got to destroy arguments. So when I'm facing a difficulty, the arguments and opinions start coming from without and get in my mind and tell me I'm a failure and I'm weak and I'm sick and I can't do it. And those things, they exalt themselves. There are, one translation says these things exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. Worship your problem. Your opinions of yourself and your opinions of your life, they become more important to you than knowledge of God. They become the idol. It's a substitute. So when you're going through a difficulty, are you going to bow down to the difficulty and all the arguments and opinions that tell you you're never going to get free from it, or are you going to know God? That's the battle line. And the devil is after the program chip to get in your brain, the code, the programming, so you think in such patterns that you are eliminated from the knowledge of God and you live weak, anemic, and sick. And you wonder, where's God? He's there. It's the knowledge of who he is. We'll learn more about this in a second. The knowledge of God that gives us quality of life. So we have power to destroy strongholds. We obliterate arguments, lofty opinions raised against the knowledge of God. And we take every thought. This is part of my warfare. We take every thought captive to obey Christ. The word stronghold, I think we have a definition. Just in general terms, the word picture of stronghold, it means a prisoner locked in deception. So suddenly you're going through a difficult time. You get opinions and arguments coming against you, and you start thinking, you get thoughts, and they all of a sudden you become a prisoner locked in wrong thinking. Deception is thinking wrong. Stronghold. And I'm here to tell you today, right now, as a result of this message, this Sunday service, and what you're going to study this week, you and I are on the path to breaking off stronghold and being mentally healthy. Five people say, yeah, that's good. All right. So we got stronghold, we defeat strongholds, and we take thoughts captive. That just means to conquer them and bring them under control. I can do this. So this is the battle. Battle's clear between good and evil. Wanted to know the code to program your mind, to control your thoughts, because if the enemy can control your thoughts, clearly, a year becomes decades, and you look back and you see how you were held back because of not the circumstances, not the people who did you wrong, but how you thought. Blame shifting never solves problems. Attacking the thoughts, bringing down the stronghold and the deception, and finding the knowledge of God, knowing the truth. In fact, Jesus said it this way. In John chapter 8, he said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now, I'm going to play a little bit on just the word know. It has broad meanings. It means to have knowledge or information, but in the broader sense, the Greek word, the original language, it actually means sexual intercourse, intimacy. It means to know. So take that broader sense in the scripture, and it takes a totally different meaning. It's not just, I know a couple of scriptures. It's this depth of intimacy. The truth has become a partner with me. The truth is a part of me emotionally and spiritually and mentally. I'm knowing the truth, and the truth is setting me free from this battle line where the enemy has taught me negativity and brought me into strongholds. See, Satan, in the same passage, I think it's verse 44, Jesus is having this conversation, and he discloses this very important phrase. He says about these people, these religious people, you guys are of your father, the devil, and he is the father of all lies. The devil is the deceiver. He is the father of deception and lies. Jesus, God, is our father of truth. Truth, 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 Bible. Scriptures, what God says sets us free. If we're in bondage to things, in wrong thinking, living a lack of quality life, we need truth. Truth is actually like a medicine. It's pretty cool how it works. In fact, before I do that, so you got the battle?
Yeah.
Everybody say battle. Yeah. Got the enemy, and we know that he wants to feed us the lies, so we're in bondage, and Jesus wants to feed us the truth, so we're free. As I was studying, I remember the story of the nation of Israel, how they were in bondage, stronghold physically, a few million people, God's chosen people living in bondage. And God sends them to deliver and sets them free from the bondage and sends them on the journey to the best life. I want to give you the quality life. I got the best life for you. I got the promised land for you. Just follow me. A few days' journey, just follow me. But on the journey, they encountered circumstances, problems, and setbacks They begin to think wrong. They begin to give in to negativity and start talking wrong. And instead of going out of bondage into the promised land, they wandered aimlessly for 40 years until they all died. A whole generation died because they could not get their thinking fixed. They were delivered from sin, but had a sin mentality. Hello, Christians. We accept Christ and we feel the freedom and the peace of being forgiven. And then we encounter problems and disagreements and setbacks and financial needs and health issues. And my wife's mad at me. And all of a sudden problems begin to define us. And we let our brain, our mind go negative. And what do? For years? We wander. Wandering Christians. Because, predominantly, because we think wrong. And here God in his mercy today is saying, we're going to fix that today. In 2014, no more wandering in the city church. Touch your neighbor and say, no more wandering. Truth is so powerful. Knowing the truth will set you free. It's like the Bible describes truth as being like a medicine. In the book of Proverbs, God says, I'm just paraphrasing it. He says, if you get it in you, my word will be health to you, make you healthy. And the word health, when it's used there, actually means medicine. So the word of God is like medicine. And another verse, God says, I want you to obey and follow my word, follow my teachings, because I am the Lord who heals you. So you really could say there, I am the Lord, your physician. My prescription for you is truth. So if an area of your life is not working and is sick, we need the medicine, the truth. Kind of like if I had a headache, and, you know, just bugging me. First thing I'll do is drink a lot of water. We learned that last week. But just say I didn't have the water. You know, I got a headache, and I think, man, I need an Advil. You know, I just need an Advil. Man, I just hope this works. You know, just I can't even keep it up there, man. I don't have any hair to hold it up, you know. It just slides off that slippery spot, you know. But I just wish I could just feel better because I've got some Advil. I've got the Advil. I should be feeling better. Because I know about Advil. And I've given it to people and they felt better. And it says what it will do, but I don't feel better. Because there's power. Man, there's inherent power in these little green pills. You know, follow me for a second. That has power in it. It has chemicals and green stuff that can make my cells numb out and feel better. What's the key? I have to swallow it. Wow. It has to become a part of me. Yeah. As it becomes a part of me. Whew, I'm going to save this for later. It becomes part of me. And it just goes into every cell, every organ, throughout my brain, throughout from my head, my hands, my torso, down my legs, into my toes. My body is responding, and the pain is alleviated. Take that picture with God's medicine. You know, we're thinking wrong. We're enduring a lot of pain and difficulty, and God's saying, my word is medicine to you. It's truth. In fact, thank you for being ahead of me here. I'm going to give you three things today that will help you to fight this battle and win. The battle of the mind, how you can be mentally healthy. Are you tracking with me, church, this morning? How you can be mentally healthy, how we're going to have change, real change. Real. This is not a fake promise. Real change is about to take place. We're going to win the battle. We're going to get mentally healthy. And the first one is simple, know the truth. Everybody say, know the truth. So we heard what Jesus said. We know the devil is the father of lies. We know that truth is a medicine. Because, see, we need truth to correct the negative thought patterns. I'm going to pause here for a second and just kind of do a little school teacher moment. Can I do that? Thank you. So I want to talk to you about correcting negative thought patterns. Correcting negative thought patterns. For the last couple of centuries, those who administered therapy, like psychological therapy, pretty much would talk with you and help you evaluate your past experiences. often, for a long time, was really famous, to go back to your childhood and help you go back and process the experiences that took place so you could point to something that was said or something that was done or something that happened to you and the people around it, so you can kind of shift the blame. Those people, that situation did that to me. Hence, I feel this way today in a negative way. And they found out over many years of evaluation that particular procedure wasn't producing good fruit. So in modern history, maybe 40, 50 years ago, those who were students of mental therapy came up with a new concept called cognitive behavioral therapy. Now, I have a point, so bear with me for a second. I want you to catch how these folks who discover this and teach this, how they discover what we discover in the Bible. Cognitive behavioral therapy. So we can make this easy. A cognition is a thought. You understand that? And behavior means your actions. Therapy is basically a systematic approach to solving a problem. Any kind of a therapy is you have an approach, you have a system, we have a plan to attack and solve a problem. So cognitive behavioral therapy is a way to evaluate the problems you're facing and the feelings that you have. And the difference they did is they posed this thought: we need to question our thoughts. We need to learn to question our thinking. So here's how they would help you do the event thing. So what they would do, they would take you through three basic points. First, they would take you through the event. Okay, something happened to you. So in my case, my father at the workbench when I was 7, he would be horribly ashamed of that today if he were alive, because he's a great dad. He just had a bad day, and he gave me a bad life in that one point, one statement. But I'm at the workbench, and I'm working with my hands, and there was an event that took place. Something literally happened, not an imaginary, it happened to me. So that's the event. Then they say from the event, then you develop a belief. What you believe or what your thoughts are about what happened. My thoughts became, I can't do things with my hands. And so when there was a, you know, let's build something, well, I would shy back and pull away. I was embarrassed. I can't, because I don't know how. I can't do that. So through the years when things would happen, even little small things, I would pull away because I felt like there was something wrong. I couldn't do those things. So the event caused me to think a certain way. And then what was the behavior? Is the third point. The behavior I just told you. How did I act based on what I believed? Well, I acted, I withdrew. I missed out on some things. I remember someone told me I wasn't good at sports at the same age. I don't even know who it was. I don't remember how it happened. I never played on one team my entire growing up. Other than like PE class. I mean, like being on a team like you would today. Zero. Now, there's reasons for that. I'm a Southern boy. We did hunting, fishing, and there wasn't a lot of exposure or opportunity like there is today. But I could have, and the reason was because someone said some things to me that made me think, that made me behave in a certain way. Cognitive behavioral therapy does what we're saying. It says, I need to question my thoughts and beliefs. Wait a second. Your dad said that, and your thoughts were that. Is that true? Are you really not able to do things with your hands? So go forward from age 7 when it happened to my mid-20s. I'm hanging out with some guys and we're painting some walls. That's pretty easy. And they say, well, let's remodel some houses, put some kitchens in. We do some floors and lay linoleum and lay carpet and things. And I'm thinking, And they say, well, come on, you can do this. You can do anything. In fact, about this time I'm going to a great church and I'm hearing great preaching like this and the word's getting in me and I'm hearing these scriptures saying, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And I had people get around me who believed me and say, Jerry McKinney, I've watched, you can just do about anything. It's amazing. So these guys grab me and we become remodelers. A really cool name, I'll tell you about it someday. So we had this little company and we're remodeling homes. And guess who's putting in cabinets and putting on countertops and installing appliances. And I went to a linoleum school, learned how to lay linoleum and carpet and things. I defeated the negativity by changing my mind. So cognitive behavioral therapy has basically discovered truth, what the Bible says. You can change your life by changing how you think. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So how do you do this in a practical way? You come to a place in your life where someone says something to you and you feel. When something is said or something happened to you, you feel a certain way. Feelings don't determine our life. Our thoughts do. So we have to go back. In fact, another way to look at it is this. Your brain has many different chambers and components. One part of your brain is called the limbic system. And that's where you have feelings and emotions and romance, and very subjective, very subjective. So when something happens or something you hear comes to you, you hear and see and feel, you have these feelings in the limbic system. So if something happens negative, you have an argument, and someone tells you, you know, you shouldn't wear those clothes. You have really weird shape. You shouldn't wear that. You have big legs or skinny legs, or, you know, you have funny hair. Or, you know, people just say things randomly. And it could be just kind of a ha-ha, no big deal, but you don't take it as a ha-ha, no big deal. No, that's an emotion that triggered the limbic system. And so you start feeling, I shouldn't wear anything like that. I should. So it determines, you start doing things differently. Your behavior goes sideways because of something you heard that triggered emotions. What cognitive behavioral therapy is what the Bible says, is you go to another part of your brain. You take these emotions that are coming in the limbic system and you pull it to the frontal lobe of your brain. That's where you process truth. That's the part of your brain that's logical and processes truth. So you have someone speak a negative and you learn to practice questioning your thinking. Because my feelings are telling me I'm skinny, people don't like me, I can't do anything with my hands, I didn't preach good enough, the people won't come to church. All the negativity comes by feelings, and that can define me, and I start behaving differently. Eeyore. Don't worry about me, I'll be fine. I like Eeyore. And it comes down to Romans 12:2. You're transformed. Your life is reprogrammed by changing how you think. Is this making sense to anybody? So we need the truth. So how can we do that in a very practical way? A practical way. So, you know, how do we get the truth in us? How do we change our thinking? I know you know I'm going to say read the Bible, but I'm going to say it. Read the Bible. But different. Not just, I know about the Bible. I should feel better. You got to get some in you. We've got to get it in us. And read it. In fact, we've made our church app. You should get it on your phone if you have a smartphone. And bring up the City Church app, and each of the days during these days of transformation, there's one verse every day. We really made that on purpose, one verse every day. And it's just a verse to meditate on regarding the subject we just discussed. How cool would it be if we all took just a few minutes? I've been practicing looking at that verse 2 or 3 times a day. And so I'm getting it in me. And so you read, meditate on, the Bible talks about meditating on the scriptures. And what's meditate? It means to mutter. It means to ponder. It means to speak out loud, to mumble it, talk about it, memorize a scripture. In other words, just spend some time. If you hear, listen to me. Do you want to change? Do you want to see progress and literal change in your life? The medicine is the truth. The answer is the truth. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We've got to give ourselves a little time. Don't freak out about it. Just, you know, read a few verses in the morning. As you first get up, program your mind with some truth before you do anything else. Maybe read a few verses at night with your spouse or somebody. Grab it during the day. You got a phone. You're looking at it 500 times a day anyway. If you're like me, maybe a few times plug the app that maybe gives you a little truth. All of a sudden, when the problem comes, you're going to start, instead of feelings, you pull it forward to frontal lobe. And you remember the truth, and the truth corrects wrong thinking, and you feel better. The thinking will make you feel better. Make you feel better. Another way you can do it, you can practice cognitive behavioral therapy by just reading the Bible. You can help yourself and correct your thoughts. So you can go to your small group and say, hey, I'm not feeling good. I'm going through some difficult times. I'm discouraged. And let someone help you process. So how do you feel? And so what are you thinking? And they give you some scriptures. And suddenly, you listen, the renewing of the mind literally is reprogramming the brain. In scientific terms, you're literally reprogramming your physical brain. Is the renewing of the mind. It's not some spiritual, whoo, my mind just got renewed. No, it's scriptures. It's truth setting me free. And it's correcting wrong thought patterns so that I'm thinking correctly. And it begins to change my life and begins to change my behavior. I feel better. I want to feel better. I want to be mentally healthy, to finish life strong. There's so many points of warfare to bring negativity. We want to defeat that by living in the truth. So we can go to the group and get someone to help you, or you can listen to great preaching, re-listen to the messages here on Sunday, go online. I listen to people preaching. We listen to it at home on our TV. I listen on the computer. I do that because I need to study, and I also do it because I need help. I need truth. I'm being really honest with you here. You know, this isn't the big dog telling you guys how to live. This is the little dog saying, God, help us all. I have struggles in my mind just like you do. As a pastor, I mean, I think we get targeted in our own way. Defeat, you're not good enough, your church isn't big enough, you don't have this, you don't have that, you didn't preach good today. I mean, just the harassment from the enemy. Send negative stimulus in the limbic system to make me feel defeated. I fight it every week, just like you fight your battles. So we're all on the same team. And we're all turning the corner, and we're going to win the battle and bring down strongholds. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. And what someone told you when you were a child or even recently and wrapped you in a tight blanket, a straitjacket, and you've been in a prison cell, that's going to come off. That is not God's plan for your life. That is not his purpose for you. You want to know the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God? The best that he had for you when you were formed in your mother's womb? Get your mind renewed. Get into scriptures. Go to your small group. Discuss it. Whenever you're reading the scriptures, the medicine's working. Kind of like, you know, you go to the doctor when you got a little infection. They give you a prescription with some antibiotic. And what does it always say? Something like this. Take one pill 3 times a day for 7 days. Make sure you take them all. Something like that, right? So what would happen if you say, well, you know, I got this, I take one, I'm fine. No, you got to let the medicine work. You have to let it work. You got to get enough in to counteract the negativity in you. Let it do its work. Do it rhythmically. Drink the water, take it in the morning, noon, evening, just keep it 7 days. You just keep taking until it's gone. You follow the directions, and then all of a sudden it eradicates the problem and you're healthy again. Just grabbing a verse on Sunday, thank you for coming. This is great. You need to be in church. That probably won't be enough. Forget that. It's not enough. It's not enough. So our health is dependent on truth, and we have to make some changes. And they're good changes. Find ways to make it crave. Listen to it. I sometimes put my phone on voice scriptures, you know, where someone's reading it to me, put it on the phone. It's blaring through my truck when I'm driving. Find creative ways to do it. Tammy and I take turns reading it. Write one out. Sometimes just get it in. Ingest it. Get it in. Everybody say, I got it. So the first way we're going to conquer, I spent a lot of time on it intentionally, is truth. Second way, really quickly, is ask the Holy Spirit for help. Talking about how to be mentally healthy, how to win the battle. Number one is know the truth. Number two, ask the Holy Spirit for help. When the Spirit of truth comes, Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit when he came to earth, when he was going to come to earth, he will guide you into what you need. He will guide you into what will show you the purposes of God. He will guide you in what will set you free. You need the Holy Spirit. He will guide you into truth. Hence, Holy Spirit, would you help me? It's my prayer every day. Lord Jesus, help me. Holy Spirit, would you lead me into the scriptures? Remind me of what I know. I've memorized and I've taught it and I've processed it and I've heard it. Would you remind me? And bam, a scripture comes up. Are you following me? It comes into your mind, and that will literally shift you into the place of transforming a pattern of thinking. We need the Holy Spirit. Ask him. Ask him to show you wrong thinking. Ask him to help you. Look at the scripture, next one, Romans. It says, now the mind of the flesh, or your natural mind, which is sense and reason without the Holy Spirit, is death. But the mind of the Holy Spirit is life and peace, both now and forever. We need the Holy Spirit to help us to have a healthy mind. Lastly, third point, I told you I was giving three. Thirdly, how we're going to be mentally healthy, how we're going to win the battle, is practice being grateful. I love this one. You find a lot of scriptures that parallel success life with being grateful and thankful. A lot of psalms that in giving thanks to God in the midst of my enemies. Scriptures tell us to pray with thanksgiving. Don't just come, oh God, help me. That's okay too, but he's saying Pray with thanksgiving. And this verse, look at this. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds. Everybody say, fill your minds. Fill your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Just being thankful, being grateful. In fact, studies have been made that being grateful actually makes your brain function better. The brain lights up when you choose to verbalize and be grateful. I would suggest to some of us who need change and are struggling, maybe we should on a daily basis just verbalize some things we're grateful for. My wife has been asking me to do that for years. It really irritates me sometimes because I know she's right. You know, let's just say we'll be out doing a hike. Let's say 10 things we're thankful for. And then 5 minutes later, let's say 20 things we're thankful for. I mean, how many, we just did that yesterday, do it again. And I realize it's her hunger to dwell on good things. But knowing her past, she needs to do that. It's helpful for her. She's bringing that therapy into my life. Being grateful is powerful for renewing your mind. And maybe some of us, if you want to come out of a little depression, you want to come out of some emotional pain, and you want to have some hope that your life can change, could I suggest to you this week, maybe for a couple weeks, that on a daily basis, remember we're setting goals, daily basis, you practice being grateful. You name 5 or 10 things you're grateful for. Maybe even take it a step further and write them down. So there's this, the cognitive assistance between thinking and hand movement enhances what you're saying and programs your brain to enjoy the chemicals released when you're grateful, being grateful. So we're going to know the truth. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit for help, and we're going to practice being grateful. And as a church, I see change coming, just like people are changing their diet and they're exercising, they're reading their Bible, they're practicing the last 2 weeks. This is the big one. Learn, if you need to, re-listen to the message today and go to your small group this week and hear some additional information about this, and let's set some goals and let's begin to watch. 3 to 6 months from now, your life will be dramatically different because God's going to help us to change how we think.